S-H-E-N-N-I-G-A-N-S, shenanigans.
Yo, Possum Dove, stand clear to be plugged up into line one and two so y'all can flaunt that new style of speed.
And good luck to both of you.
Plug one.
What?
Answering any author service. Prerogative praise positively, I'm acquitted. Enemies publicly shame my utility. After the battle, they admit since I'm with it. Simply sued, well moved. Bono like glue. Transistors are never more shown. Like when vocal flow brings it all down in ruin. Due to a clue of a naughty noise called plug two.
That's something we can both agree on.
It's Thursday, March 18th, 2021. Episode 044. You are about to go down the rabbit hole with Joe and Brian. I'm Brian, with me, as always, my good friend Joe. Joe, how the hell are you?
I'm well, and yourself?
I'm doing good. It's been a pretty good day.
Great.
Yeah, can't complain.
I mean, I'm glad that it's been a good day because that means other things were good other than the weather, because the weather today sucked here.
Oh, it was horrible here too, man. Yeah. It's like I had last Saturday was nice, and then it was like you're done. No more. Enjoy it because it's cold and rain from here on out. And that's held true all week.
Terrible.
So this weekend's supposed to look better, and Sunday's supposed to be nice. But yeah, this week has just been horrible. Couple things I wanted to, before we get started here. A couple things. This is just I'm not a doctor by any means.
Really?
Although I have watched I think all 8 or 9 seasons of House. At least three times.
School, right?
At least three times. So,
yeah.
And so, if there's any House fans out there, I just want you to know that it's never lupus.
Wait, quick question. But,
yeah.
How did that series end?
You want me to ruin it for you?
Yeah, sure.
His best buddy Wilson dies from cancer, and yeah, that's pretty much it.
Yeah, I was hoping that he'd wake up and become like a nice guy.
Nope, still an asshole. But anyway, as even though I'm not a doctor, I wanted to tell everybody out there, because I'm drink water. I'm positive that probably the majority of our population is walking around in some state of dehydration. And
sorry, how did you come to this realization?
Because I am rolling around, walking around in a state of dehydration, and and it's just I know water's important, and I'm figuring if I let it go, everyone does, and maybe when you're younger or more active, maybe you can get away with it, maybe not, I don't know, but I just you know, I've been on this diet. It's not even a diet really anymore. It's just kind of how I eat now, which is what I was after. But I was, you know, I've lost some weight, and I was feeling great. And then I realized, all of a sudden, I just started having, you know, my muscles were aching, my joints was hurting, and I'm like, what the hell, man? I'm I haven't done anything.
That's not good.
Yeah. And so, anyway, it finally occurred to me. I was like, you know what? I've been drinking a lot. I've been drinking a lot of the, you know, those zero cola, the Coke Zeros and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I haven't been drinking water like I used to. And so I was like, I looked up what some of the side effects of dehydration was. And yeah, and it's like sore muscles, achy joints. And it's just, you know, all this stuff, and I cut out the soda, and I just started. I got back to drinking the water again, and almost it's like it's like a cause and effect. I drank water and pain goes away. It's just bizarre. And it just got me thinking, I just wonder how many people aren't drinking enough water. And so because I care about my audience, our audience, I just want, it's just like a public service announcement. Public service announcement.
I would venture to guess that 9 out of 10 people don't drink enough water.
Yeah, I would. I'm right there with you, man. So I just wanted to say that.
How much time passed between drinking the water and feeling the relief?
A couple days, man.
Oh, a couple days.
Yeah, a couple days. Probably about a day and a half. Yeah.
Huh?
Probably about a day and a half or 2 days. I don't know.
I guess you don't get dehydrated in one day, and I guess you don't get rehydrated in one day.
Yeah, or at least I did. I didn't drink tons of water. I just started drinking water, you know. Okay. So maybe if I drank like a gallon, it would have affected me sooner. But I just got back to just drinking water again. Period. So
it's funny because I really don't like the taste of water.
Right.
And the only way I can make myself drink it is if I carbonate it and make it really cold.
Okay.
But if I do those two things, then I can drink it no problem. But just water out of the tap, water that's not ice cold or water that's not, you know, changed, can't do it.
Yeah.
Or don't have to do it, rather.
Right. Well, I've been using that Mio. I still use that Mio to flavor it sometimes, but... one other thing I wanted to talk about, and this is just I thought it was just such a great story. I've told two people, and it's just one of those things. It's probably more of a statement on me than anything, but I'll just tell the story, and maybe people will see where, maybe people will dial in on this before I get to the big reveal, but So last Saturday, one of my nephews, he's playing like extracurricular basketball. I can't think of there's a league for outside of high school for kids to play in. I can't think of what it's called, but they had practice in of all places, Dublin, which is north of Columbus. And that's a lot far.
Okay. Yeah.
Like, if I was a kid and I would have asked mom and dad if I could join a league and they'd have to drive me to Columbus twice a week for practice, I'd have got my butt handed to me, probably.
Or you just would have thought better of it. You're like, you know what?
Yeah. But they, but he is. Anyway, last Saturday they needed, I guess they couldn't arrange for him to get up there. So, my brother asked me if I'd take him up. So, sure, I did.
Cool. Uncle Brian to the rescue.
Yeah, it's a decent. The stretch between Cincinnati and Columbus is horrible, but
yeah, I used to drive that all the time.
Yeah, but it was a early Saturday morning, so traffic was okay. Anyway, that's not the point. The point is, we get up there. I get him. I drop him off early, but. You know, it's about, I drop him off around 10 o'clock. And so I'm like, I went and found the nearest Dunkin' Donuts, get me some coffee. And so I get there, get the coffee. I go over to the parking lot right next door and I park. And it's right there on Bethel Highway. And that's kind of a popular, busy highway. So I sit there, I'm drinking my coffee. I put on an audiobook that I'm listening to and watch cars, you know, every so often a nice car would go by. So that's what I'm doing. And I got the engine turned off, and after about, I don't know, 5 minutes or whatever, the audio system in the car turns off. Now, cars that have keys, at least they used to when I was younger, you could take your key in the ignition. If you turn the ignition backwards towards you, it put it on auxiliary power, and your radio, your radio and stuff would work, but the engine would be off. But this stupid car doesn't have keys; it has a fob, and so I'm, and so there's no. I can't find any auxiliary thing. And so I'm looking on the dashboard, and right above the start stop button is this other button that says A with like a circle around it or a half circle around it, and I push it, and it didn't work. Nothing happened. And so I'm like, well, to hell with it. So I just turned the car back on and just let the engine run. It wasn't a big deal. And I'm going on. I'm finished my coffee. The audiobook's still going, but it's about time to go pick Chase up, my nephew. And so I'm getting ready to pull out of the parking lot, and there's traffic on Bethel. It's a busy highway, so I'm stopped there, and there's like these two cars behind me, and I notice my gauges, the engine turns off, and my gauges just the RPMs, everything just boom. And I was like, what? I'm still trying not to curse, but man, the four letters were flying. I'm like, what in? No, this is not happening up here in Columbus. I got to go pick up my nephew. I pushed the start stop button, nothing. And I'm just like,
you killed your battery?
No, because I'd had the engine running when I listened to the audiobook. So I hit the start stop again, and it turns on, and I pull out. I go, and I'm like, all right, man. So something about coming to a stop is causing problems with this engine. So I'm trying, I'm driving so that I'm trying to time it so that I never have to like come to a complete stop. I always want to keep moving. But I finally get to this one light where it's a big, busy intersection. There's nothing. I have to stop. So I stop, and sure enough, that fucking engine dies again. But this time I noticed on the dash something about a light was on. It's like auto start stop.
Oh,
and then that's when it occurred to me, and it's probably everybody out there already knows what I was.
The car automatically stops when it's in rest.
Yeah. When I hit that button, when I hit that button, that turned it on, I guess. And I never hit that button again to deactivate it. So, and that's the first time I'd ever touched that button since I've had the car. I had no idea what that button did. But I know what it did now, and I'm never hitting it again. So anyway,
the story didn't end about you getting towed, and then going to the mechanic and being like, "What's going on?" And you're like, "Well, this button you pressed."
Yeah.
I'm glad that didn't happen.
That probably would have been a better story, but yeah, I'm glad that didn't happen as well. So, anyway, I felt like I had to share that. So hope everybody out there got a good chuckle at my ignorance. Yeah. Well, these cars are so freaking complicated, man. Yeah,
these cars have a lot of new technology in them. And so, but you like technology.
Well, I that's the thing. When I had the 128, it was just a very analog type car. It was, and I was like, man, I like this, but I want some cool technology, man. I was jealous of the newer cars with the tech, but I tell you, now that I have this car with all this technology, I kind of miss just the simple analog of the older cars. But
you turn a key and the radio goes.
Yeah, but the thing is, I bought the car. I didn't buy it from a BMW dealership. I bought it from CarMax, I think. So if I'd have bought it from a dealership, I think when they turned the car over to me, they would have like went through all this stuff with me. So I'd have had a clue, but
yeah, you'd hope.
Anyway, yeah, you'd hope, but that's not even guaranteed, I suppose. Anyway, where are we? Here we go. You know what?
Motherfucker, give me two fingers of Southern Comfort.
What'd the bartender bring you, Joe?
The bartender was exceedingly generous with me today. I got it's like a cranberry, cocktail juice with vodka and and Old Faithful.
Okay.
Yeah, I thought I was going to try and be more innovative, but also have Old and Faithful on standby.
Yes, that is correct, sir. Well, as I teased last week.
Yeah, you're right. Okay, cool.
I opened up that bottle of mezcal just a little bit ago, and I had to go grab a monkey wrench out of the toolbox to get that stupid the cork out. it came, you know, it's kind of like corked, kind of like a bottle, like a bot. The cork pops out, is like half out of the top. It's more like a bottle of Chimay, if you're familiar with that. But then it's like got all this wax poured on it, real fancy and stuff. And so I'm looking at it, and I'm like, how the hell do I don't know how to, I don't know. Because I can't tell. It was with all the wax on it. It was hard to tell what exactly you're supposed to do. So I actually had to look it up look it up on YouTube on how to open up the damn bottle. And then,
they make it easy on you.
Yeah, and then I didn't have the bar tool that they used to do it. So I just like, you know what? I may not have that, but I got an expletive monkey wrench, and that'll work. So anyway, yeah, here I got it here, man. And I gotta say, it has a smell that it's a new smell. It's a smell that I've never smelled before, really, at least in an alcohol.
Is it a good smell, or it makes you not want to drink it?
Well, I can't tell. It's not a wholly unpleasant smell, but it's there. I've been smelling it since we started this show. It's been sitting here, and I've been smelling it the whole time. So, and I looked up. I didn't know what to do with it. I know it's like a sipping alcohol, so I just looked up the best way to drink it, and they said, you know, and of course these would probably be the snobs, but it's like, of course the best way to drink it is straight, no ice, at room temperature.
What?
So,
I guess if it's the first time you're trying it, you probably should have the first sip being, you know, it pure.
Yeah, and I mean, that's how I drink my whiskey. I don't put ice or anything in my whiskey either, so.
Not at all?
No. Nah. So anyway, I don't know. It smells, not sure what I think about the smell, but anyway, they say take a sip, swish it around in your mouth, and open up the taste buds and all that fancy schmancy stuff that they like to say, so I can get all the notes and hints and subtle flavors and whatnot. So here we go.
What say you?
A lot of burn.
A lot of burn. Like cheap alcohol burn, or
no alcohol burn, but not like a cheap alcohol. It's I don't think I'll have a problem drinking the rest of the bottle.
Oh, well, there you go.
But it definitely just small sips at a time.
So good in small doses.
Yeah. They said that after, and it's like most things, after that first sip, you know, it's the next, it probably won't, the burn will probably start going away.
I sure hope so.
And it does have an interesting taste to it, man. It doesn't taste like tequila at all, or at least no tequila that I've ever had.
All right. So you wouldn't drink this and mistake it for tequila. So
not at all, man. This is, and I don't want to, And I don't even feel like I want to shoot it or anything. It's just like a, you know, I'll just sip it. So yeah, I'll consider this a win. What do you think?
Oh, there you go.
Yeah,
I think anytime you try a new bottle of something, and you're like, you know what, it's different, but I don't think I'll have a hard time, you know, finishing it. That's a good sign.
You know, the last time I've had an alcohol that was completely brand new to me, like just a completely different taste, was brandy.
Brandy?
Yeah.
I thought you were going to say Southern Comfort.
Oh, no. I mean, that's still got it. You know, that's... You know what you're... Even though it was ridiculous, you know what you're drinking. No, but brandy was just like a... It was a whole different kind of alcohol taste to me. It didn't taste like any kind of alcohol I'd ever had before. Even absinthe tastes a lot like... I don't know. I think absinthe, if I recall correctly, has a really strong licorice taste. Kind of like...
Yeah, I remember having a licorice taste as well.
Yeah.
Or licorice-y, I'll say that.
Yeah, yeah. And Jägermeister has like a licorice-y taste, so it wasn't completely unfamiliar to me, but... Yeah. So, anyway, there we go. Let's get moving.
What did you rate it on a scale of? Hate it.
Yeah. Well, my 1 to 5 scale. Yeah.
Huh?
I will say. Just so people know, I have my scale is a 5-point scale because it's a 4-point scale. I'm sorry. I don't like making it so someone can just be wishy-washy and choose the middle. So my scale is a 1, means I hated it. 2 means I liked it. No. 1 means I hated it. 2 means I didn't like it. 3 means I liked it. And 4 means I loved it. And I would say that this is a 3.
Oh, you like it?
I like it, yeah.
Okay. Well, you don't love everything the first time you try it.
Well, that's true.
It also sounds like it might be something that grows on you.
Yeah, as I was saying that, I was thinking to myself, this could evolve.
Yeah.
And this is only, this is only one distillery. There's many different makers of mezcal out there, but this is
others. Maybe you might find a mezcal maker where they make it, but they leave out the burn.
I won't hold my breath, but maybe.
Keeping hope alive, man.
Yep. All right, so let's get moving. We got the big... the George Floyd... We have a George Floyd update, and this is... We touched... Last week we mentioned about the settlement. And so this is a... this article is... it's a historic civil settlement for George Floyd's family brings uncertainty to Derek Chauvin's criminal trial. A historic $27 million settlement in a lawsuit filed over George Floyd's death, announced as a jury is being chosen for the criminal trial of the officer accused of killing him, complicates a high-profile prosecution and could become grounds for an appeal or a conviction, legal observers say. Floyd's death under the knee of then police officer Derek Chauvin, blah, blah, blah. We know all that. Friday, the city of Minneapolis settled a civil rights lawsuit against it and the 4 officers who restrained him. The announcement of the settlement, which occurred when the criminal trial was on a lunchtime break, was incredibly bad timing and extremely damaging to the defense and maybe the state, said Mary Moriarty, former chief public defender of Hennepin County, Minnesota. Among the possible effects, a potential juror could presume there's no need to convict because the family's already received a large settlement, she said.
That's got to be the dumbest. I hope that isn't an actual possibility, that a person who would be a juror might actually consider that, oh, well, since he got a settle, since the family got a settlement, I guess there wasn't a crime here.
Yeah, I didn't have it here, but I think the other alternative though is that jurors are like, well, shit, if they settled, then that's all a confession of guilt, and that might incline them to convict. So, like they said, it could go either way, but it was. Do you think it was done on purpose? The announcement.
I don't think so.
I mean,
they would have had to make the announcement one way or another, and yeah, I don't think it was done on purpose. But I will say that I do know that the attorney, Mr. Nelson, has filed to postpone the trial as a result of this thing.
Right, and I think they've replaced two jurors who said that they, after finding out about that, wouldn't be able to be impartial. I think.
Well, I mean, still gearing up for the big show.
Yeah. You know,
do you think you'd be able to make a clear-headed decision in light of having this information? If Brian were a juror?
I'd like to think so.
Yeah. Yeah, I think the average person, can distinguish between civil and criminal if properly, sat down and if they had it explained to them. So,
yeah, the OJ trial, the family didn't file a civil suit until the criminal trial was over. So, I kind of thought that was the way things were done. I'll be honest. I didn't realize that they had filed a civil suit. So I was kind of surprised when it was, when the settlement was announced. So.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, you would think that you'd want to have the criminal trial work its course before, but in this case, they weren't, it appears if they weren't suing Mr. Chauvin directly, they were suing the city of Minnesota. So the city of Minnesota isn't on trial with Derek Chauvin, just Derek Chauvin.
Yeah, well, yeah, but they said the settlement was done from, I mean, it says here, I think.
On behalf of Chauvin and the other officers.
Yeah. I don't know, but of course, we need drama. So,
this
will be. I mean,
could you imagine how this show might be different if there wasn't things to report on?
Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah, I'm sure everyone enjoys our witty banner, but there are limits to everything.
Sure. Yeah. Well, if you don't have anything else to say about that, we can move on.
All right, let's do that.
All right. So, you know what? You were the first person to introduce me to Bill Burr.
I was?
Yeah. Back when we was hanging out, you're the one who was like, hey, have you heard of this guy? Are you familiar with his comedy? I was like, nah. And prompted me to go. To go look him up. I'll be honest, he's not 100% my taste, but I do enjoy, some. Bill Burr for me is much like this mezcal, small quantities. I don't know that I'd want to listen. I tried to listen to his podcast before, and it's okay. And I tried to. I think I prefer just like 5-minute YouTube clips of him or something like that. But I found that this was pretty interesting. I thought he done some hosting something for the Grammys last weekend.
I think he announced like the Latin Music, right, Award. Something like that, or he opened up for them.
Yeah, and I think he had done, I think he announced several Latin awards. I went to download the entire clip. I thought it was just like a monologue, but it was like 6 minutes of, it was just hard to follow, and it was just 6 minutes of him trying to read names that he couldn't pronounce and announcing winners and stuff. But I seen another clip that said that was labeled his so-called controversy, or whatever his controversial statement. What, let me see here. Bill Burr's so-called controversial joke at the Grammy. So, I like we agreed. I haven't heard this yet. I'm assuming you haven't heard it either, right?
I've not heard it at all.
But so this is.
I think you were the person who let me know that this was an issue, and I was about to start listening to it then and there, and you're like, wait a minute, maybe we can do this on the show.
Yeah, this would be good. So I think this is 35 seconds. So apparently we're about to hear what made the internet blow up. So here we go.
Was I the only one who wanted to kill himself during that piano solo? I bought a suit for this. I thought I was going to be on TV. I'm such a moron. I am losing so much money right now. All right, shout out to all the rock stars that I wanted to meet tonight who are watching at home instead. I'm talking to you, Don Dokken. All right? But I'm old. That was my first concert. All right, here are the next categories. All right. Hey, how many feminists are like going nuts? So, why is this cis white male doing all this Latino stuff?
Well, that's the end of the clip. So, was that it? Can I?
I guess we'll have to ask Twitter why Twitter is upset.
Can I go back? Come on, let me just. So feminist. So he didn't even say really anything about it. He kind of mocked him, I guess, by using a different voice to quote them.
He did the woman voice. He's got, and just to give you a little bit of feedback, I used to be I don't want to say a religious listener to Bill Burr's podcast.
Okay.
But it's like, you know, the Monday morning show or whatever. And he's good. I enjoy listening to him. Sometimes he talks about sports and F1 a little more than I care to listen to. Then I just fast forward through it. But he's
an F1 fan.
Oh yeah, huge F1 fan. That's why I thought you guys had that in common.
We do now.
Hmm.
Well, anyway, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, one of the things I love about Bill Burr is that oftentimes he'll get up and he'll make a bunch of jokes, and people will be upset. Like, I think he did something a couple months ago where the internet blew up again. But it seems as if the things that he thinks that the internet's going to get mad about is never that. It's usually something he doesn't expect for them to get mad about.
Funny. So I guess someone named Claiborne Griffin after the Grammys tweeted this out. While I'm not suggesting Bill Burr is a racist, which just by simply writing that, that's exactly what you're suggesting, but okay. A white man having a non-white wife. I guess this will make most people who don't know, Bill Burr's married to a black woman. I guess her name is Nia.
She's annoying. So,
is she?
Yeah.
Well, she's a woman. No! I did not. Was that my outside voice?
It was a voice.
Hmm. So, a white man having a non-white wife can sometimes be a sign of racism. So you shouldn't assume someone isn't a racist just because they own a minority sex servant. Wow.
What?
Yeah. They may very well have one because they're racist. Wow.
Yeah, I don't think a racist, you know, I don't think a racist in the 2000s, you know, marries the object of their scorn.
Yeah, that's someone stretching to try to make a really bad point.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, it's stretching to the point of ridiculousness.
Yeah, and
I mean that's one of those things that I think had I read that, I probably would have been like, okay, well, now it's time to not read anything else from this guy.
Yeah, I don't have him in the notes here, but there was a lot of Twitter replies to him really castigating the guy for that. So,
I guess that's a good thing about the internet, is that everyone can get smoke. Like, if you say something dumb, you can get it.
Yeah. Yeah, I see that. Interesting. I knew you was a Bill Burr fan, so I wanted to bring this up tonight. So
glad. Yeah, I first became a Bill Burr fan when I was in Cincinnati, Ohio. It was at a comedy club called Go Bananas. And he played the show, and literally I was on the very first row. And, cool. Huh?
I said, cool.
Yeah, one of the funniest, you know, probably one of the funniest shows I'd ever seen. And that kind of made me a fan of comedy clubs, just going to them, being in them, and hanging out at them.
Excellent.
So, let's see here. And what do we have on feedback?
Well, yeah, this is this is fun. I don't. Apparently, one of our listeners has issues with the way that we pronounce Kamala Harris's name, and I just want to say that I realize now that I consistently mispronounce it, but it's not because of disrespect. Although I don't have any respect for her, that has nothing to do
between lack of respect and disrespect.
Okay, but I'm not mispronouncing it because of anything like that. It's just, I don't know. I guess I just look at it, and that's how I look at it. And I just want to say Kamala. And
I look at it, and I see a word that rhymes with Pamela, but it begins with a K.
Yeah, and I knew a girl back in high school whose name was Cam, and I don't know if that was short for Kamala or what, but I called her Cam.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not. It's, well, don't take my word for it. Here we go.
Hey, what is it? So you used to say you used to say Kamala?
Yeah, I Kamala. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I look at it. Yeah, I see. I'm like you. I kind of, I guess, associate it more with like Pamela, Kamala.
Yeah.
It's not Pamela.
I wouldn't look at this and say Kamala.
That's another one. Yeah, that's another one. Yeah. Kamala. Here we go.
U.S. Senator now running to be vice president, but some people still don't know how to say her first name. In 2016, she released a video about it with some help from some little friends.
It's not Kamala. It's not Kamala. It's not Kamala.
It's Kamala.
Kamala Harris.
Well, the senator says she's used to people mispronouncing her name, but says it's easy to remember. Just combine comma with law, and you get Kamala.
There you go.
Yeah, all right. Kamala.
I prefer it's easy to remember. Kamala ma ding dong. Except you take off the ma ding. Except you, drop the ma ding dong.
Huh?
Kamala ma ding dong, but then you drop the ma ding dong. Right?
Oh, okay. I like comma and add the la, comma la. Yeah, I don't think that I would ever figure that out looking at the spelling. And your spelling in the show notes was much more helpful in terms of saying her name correctly than the actual name.
Now just for But just because, just so that we know that we're not the only ones who have made this mistake, I do have one more clip for us.
Now are you sure? Because I in my mind imagine legions of people lining up to mispronounce her name because I don't like her.
I'm sure it's true. I'm sure that's true. But this is Kamala. Or I'm sorry, Kamala. Kamala, this is. I'm just letting people know that this just ain't going to stick.
When you know better, you do better.
I've known better all day, and I still can't say it. It just doesn't roll off the tongue, man.
Give it time.
I'm gonna try, but don't hold it against me when I fail. But this is Kamala herself.
She said, what?
Let me play that again. And I like my favorite part, I think, of this clip is it's hard to hear, but she asked the person she's with. She says,
where are we?
Are we in Cleveland? Okay. But yeah, let's hear it again. Listen close. See, even she messes up her own name sometimes.
Kamala. She said Kamala. She didn't say Kamala.
She said Kamala.
I heard Kamala.
No.
Hmm.
One more time.
Hey, Cleveland! It's Kamala. I just came to say thank you.
Kamala.
I hear Kamala.
Hmm. Potato, potato.
Doesn't matter.
But the point is that it's easy to butcher her name, and butchering her name isn't necessarily a sign of disrespect. It could just be, having a command of the English language and looking at C-A-M, and we typically think of that as Cam. Mm-hmm. Right?
Correct. Maybe that's an Indian pronunciation, or maybe a Jamaican pronunciation. What do you think?
Yeah, Kamala.
Amon. Come on, man.
No, you butchered.
Kamala, man.
Well, the thing is that she and her father are very estranged. Hmm. So, my understanding that she doesn't even recognize that part of her family.
Okay.
Like, she recognizes it for the purposes of campaigning, but she has no dealings with them.
Yeah, I think I heard that he was, like, mad that she was joking about smoking pot or something like that.
Oh, yes. He actually, like, ended up writing, a letter to, Wall Street Journal or something like that, or some large major publication talking about how Kamala's ancestors will be rolling in their graves if they heard her the interview for where she said about smoking marijuana because she's Jamaican.
Right. If I'm not mistaken, didn't you have some other possible nicknames for her?
Her? He?
Kamala.
Oh, did I have any more?
Yes.
Katmala?
Yes.
Yeah, but I thought everybody called her that.
I had never heard that.
Yeah, I'm just coming up with the new stuff. Last week it was Jim Crow Joe. This week is Katmala.
Yeah, I'm learning.
Hey, every day. That's how you know you're alive, man.
Ah, the burn doesn't go away.
Oh, well, that does too. Pain is also how you know you're alive.
Wow.
It may be one of those things where you have to go through, like, you know, go through an entire bottle before it goes away.
I doubt it.
Like, the very first time that you tasted beer, did you automatically love it?
Probably not.
Yeah, all right. It's probably the same thing.
Yeah. Did we talk about Meghan Markle last week? I can't recall.
We did talk about her briefly.
Okay.
We discussed the word quadroon.
Yes, that's right. That's right. Well, there's a lot of people, I guess, have done some dissection of the interview that she had. I mean, I would urge people. Again, I know we bring it up a lot, but the Mo Fax Show, his last episode, he done a ridiculous deep dive on Meghan Markle. And
say, what was the name of that show?
The show is Mo Facts with Adam Curry. Is the
oh no 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 no! I'm sorry. I mean the episode name, because their episodes you really can't tell.
Yeah, I don't know what to say. It's just the most recent one.
Okay.
Their release cycle now is like you're lucky to get one episode a month, so it's not going to be hard to find it. So yeah, the last episode. And maybe, I don't know, maybe if you look at the show description, it'll probably give you more information. But anyway, you brought a clip to the table that I thought was really interesting, and it kind of sparked my mind in a way that maybe we'll listen to this clip and then talk about it and maybe branch off into some other thoughts and, here we go. Meghan's problem.
Because Meghan Markle thought something that just wasn't true. She has been allowed to live a life in this country. We're talking about America. That's very different than the life and what she was kind of encountered there. So in this country, you were allowed to go join the white sorority. You are like the opposite of Kamala Harris in the sense of Kamala needed ADOSness. When we talk about blackness in this country, that's what you're really talking about. ADOSness for the most part. Nobody's saying that other groups don't exist, but we're talking about who paved that way, right? Especially during the time that Kamala graduated. She went to Howard because I need to anchor myself in that. I can't just anchor myself in being Indian American, right? Or Jamaican American, especially since I don't have a relationship with my father, really, from what I can tell. So Kamala anchored herself in blackness. Meghan Markle anchored herself in whiteness. They both made choices that you can see through the sorority that they chose. But guess what? Guess what, everybody? These people over there in the royal family, they do stuff by blood, old blue bloods, lineage, all that. When we talk about lineage, they've been doing it, pure. No, 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 no. You're not going to come over here and do what you did in America. You're not going to come over here with common or white blood and then slave blood. I don't know what her mother was, whether she was ADOS or something else, right? But you're not going to come over here from that line and then act like you ain't what you is. That's some American stuff. We don't do that over here.
Yeah, we don't do that over here.
Yeah.
Let me give you some background, okay?
Yeah, yes, please.
The person whom you heard speaking was a person by the name of Yvette Carnell, and she is the she pretty much started the whole ADOS movement. her. I mean, it was her and a guy named Aramy Frimpong. I think a couple of weeks ago, I sent you a video that he had done. Also, they used to have a weekly show that they did together. Since then, they broke it up and have split apart. But they're still on the same team. But I really like her because she often challenges the way I challenge. She challenges and expands the way I see the world. And just in that 1 minute and 20 second clip or something like that, you could see, you know, how she thinks in ways that challenge, you know, the mainstream. And I always enjoy listening to her, and I recommend that everyone join me in listening to her. I probably say I agree with her at about 85-90%. But yeah, I listen to her quite regularly. That being said, what were your thoughts?
Well, I on the face of it, I agree. Yeah, things that fly here just aren't going to fly there. They're, you know, the royal, for whatever reason, the royal family is something special in the UK. And you know, this isn't going to stop. And I'm going to say they, although I can't define they. I'll say the social justice warriors, maybe, but don't dwell. What I'm about to say, don't dwell on who they are, but just there is a push to, they want to break it, well, just any norms. They just want to break them. And in this case, it's the royal family. They've got this lineage, and the idea that they want to keep it pure is a horrible idea to some people. And
I don't think they wanted to keep it pure because, you know, Harry, a royal, married someone, and, you know, I also believe that if they really wanted Meghan out, Meghan would be out. I mean, if they really had issues with Meghan, he wouldn't have married her.
That's possible. I can't speak to
that.
I
think that's probable. I mean, I guess the other thing is that because he's so far down the line of succession now, he probably could go marry anyone he wants now. I guess he did, I think that Prince William not married and had at least two kids now. I think they would not have allowed Harry to marry Meghan Markle. Because,
Okay.
But I do think part of the reason she's gotten so much drama. Last week we talked about when it became popular or the right thing to do to dislike or and not like Meghan Markle, and I can't help but think that there's some tint of that. We don't want, you know, a black person who's in any way derived from slave blood running in the royal family. I believe that's part of the case.
But the entire spectacle of the interview with Oprah, I think, had a purpose, and I think that purpose was to cast the royal family as a bunch of racists, and I mean I think that was on purpose.
I mean, part of me says, like, you know, it should not be very difficult to cast a family who, you know, who profited quite mightily off slavery all around the world as racist. They may not be, I mean, you're probably never going to find them, you know, dropping N-bombs, but, you know, I think there are other ways to be racist other than that.
Yeah, but it's pretty sensational to see a pretty little white girl telling Oprah that, you know, they were worried that my baby would be, or they was worried about the how dark my baby was going to be or something. That's just, when things are phrased or presented to people like that, it just tugs at the heartstrings, you know, and it makes
I think it does tug at the heartstrings, but that is a, you know, that is kind of a crazy thing to worry about.
Yeah, I mean, I don't disagree, but I don't disagree. But I think the entire purpose for the whole interview, everything, the entire purpose was to just chip away again at this institution that they want to see broke down.
Well, I mean, I don't think that I'm much more plain. I just think that it's kind of like a publicity war, right? Like people have their story and they want to spread it, and they got on Oprah because they thought they knew that that would draw a bunch of eyeballs, and. I'm also not necessarily, I mean, and this comes from a slightly different place. I'm not all that big of a fan of the royal family, or any royal family for that matter. And so, I mean, to cast aspersion on an organization, an entity that could not survive here in the States for all the obvious reasons, and in all truth, you know, a royal family anywhere is detrimental to, I guess, you know, normal, regular people everywhere. And so I have no problem with them chipping away at the luster, or, you know, of any royal family.
Yeah, I don't really care either. What sparked my interest about that was, what are your thoughts on, racial integration, I suppose.
That's a broad question. You have to, that's.
Well, before we go there, I think we mentioned. I don't know if we talked about it on the show or just on our own, but mainstream media nowadays is really, really advocating all of this.
Interracial marriages and all. Yeah, and right. I think we've. I mean, I'm sure you've been watching a commercial, probably a pharmaceutical ad. It doesn't have to be a pharmaceutical ad, but, you know, an ad where you're like, what are you saying? That looks like the most awkward family in the world. But it's, you know. But I guess my thoughts on it are, is that, hey, if you love somebody, go be with them. And everything else doesn't matter. Now, yeah. where we might find common ground is that there seems to be a concerted effort to, I don't want to say to push it, kind of like the way they do with the transsexuals, how, you know, it'll just be in your face in a way that you're like, okay, you got my attention. I saw it, basically, right? And I think when you get enough of that, of anything, people will naturally begin to resist it, resent it, and then resist. And I think, you're probably along the you resent it, and now you're resisting.
Well, don't think I don't. I'm not necessarily against it either.
I don't think you're against interracial marriages. But I think you're against the fact that it appears to be being pushed in a way that seems unnatural.
Yeah.
Have you ever heard of a show called Borgia, or the Borgias, or something like that?
No.
But it's an awesome show. It's about Pope Alexander VI. He was a pope around the from like what, 1492 to 1503, and it's a really interesting story. If you ever have an opportunity to watch the show on Netflix, watch it. It's very good. But In the middle of season three, one of the main characters who heretofore had been straight in every way, shape, and form turned out to be rabidly homosexual. And then all of a sudden you have all these scenes where it's just him and his boyfriend kissing on one another and having sex. And it's like, wait a minute. Okay, I see it. It's in my face and I cannot not see it. And now I resist and now I'm resenting it. I resent and now I resist it, so to speak. I don't know how I made the connection between gay people.
The mainstream media and Hollywood and all the people that control the culture, they're just really pushing any lifestyle, alternative lifestyles, I guess, but just anything that's anti the standard nuclear family as people think of it.
I don't think it's anti-standard nuclear family because it is a standard nuclear family. Man, wife, kid. They just happen to be of different colors. I don't think that makes it a non-standard standard family.
Well, I've been trying unsuccessfully to guide us to this clip that I want to play.
All right.
Trying to lead us there, but you just won't have it. So I can't segue into it in any smooth way. I found it interesting and I want to play it. I don't know why I first heard this. I'll admit it. I first heard this on the MoFax show months ago, but I've seen this clip floating around. It's being passed around quite a bit this week. I'm not sure why. I don't know if it's in response to Megan or not, but I just found this to be very, very interesting. And I wanted to, I guess, one, see if you'd heard it, or two, get your response on it. This is Muhammad Ali talking about racial integration.
Take people to move in the neighborhoods, we clean their own neighborhoods. And another thing, when you say integration, it comes under intermarriage too, right? All
right.
Been together.
Right, sure.
And I'm sure no intelligent white person watching this show, no intelligent white man in his or her right white mind want black boys and black girls marrying their white sons and daughters and in return introducing their grandchildren as half-brown, kinky-haired black people.
I wouldn't object to that.
Well, you wouldn't, but a lot of them would.
Well, I'm sure a lot of people would. No, it's just the point.
What I'm trying to say is this. You don't have it. You say you don't, but you don't have it. You really ain't going to.
That's not true.
Why would you want to do that?
Because I don't think I'm any different from you, you see.
Yeah, we're much different.
I think society's made us different.
We are all together. But
society's made us different.
No, not society. God made us different.
No, we're just human beings. He made all of us.
We all, listen, bluebirds fly with bluebirds, red birds want to be with red birds. Listen, tell me when I'm wrong. Pigeons want to be with pigeons.
But
tell me when I'm
wrong.
Right, they don't have intelligence, but yet they stay together. We should have more intelligence than them, right? Buzzards are with buzzards. Right? Buzzards are with buzzards. Bluebirds are with bluebirds. They all are birds, but they've got different cultures. The eagles like to hang out in the mountains. The buzzards like to fly around the desert. Bluebird like to fly around the trees and the grass.
There'd be certain problems a buzzard mating with a sparrow, wouldn't there?
What?
There'd be certain
right. And we have the problems too. I don't see no black and white couples in England or America walking around proud holding their children.
That's because society
and going out.
That's society's fault. We've got to educate people around it.
Well, life is too short for me to be raised catching hell for something like that. I'd rather go and be my own. I have a beautiful daughter, beautiful wife. They look like me. We're all happy, and I don't have no trouble. And I ain't that much in love with no woman to go through all that hell. Ain't no one woman that good. You understand?
I understand. Yeah, I do understand. I think it's sad that
it ain't sad because I want my child to look like me. Every intelligent person wants his child to look like him. I'm sad because I want to blot out my race and lose my beautiful identity. Chinese love Chinese. They love the little slanted-eyed, pretty brown-skinned babies. Pakistanis love their culture. Jewish people love their culture. A lot of Catholics don't want to marry them, but Catholics. They want the religion to stay the same. Who want to spot up yourself and kill your race? You're a hater of your people if you don't want to stay who you are. You shame what God made you. God didn't make no mistake when he made us all like we were.
I think that's a philosophy of despair.
Despair.
I really do.
It ain't no despair. Yeah? Number one, can't no woman. Let me tell you something. I'll tell you. Listen, no woman on this whole earth, not even a black woman in Muslim countries, can please me and cook for me and socialize and talk to me like my American black woman. No woman, at last, is a white woman. Can really identify with me and my feelings and the way I act and the way I talk. And you can't take no Chinese man and give him no Puerto Rican woman and holler about we in love and you emotionally in love and physically, but really they're not happy because she's going to hear some Puerto Rican music, he's going to hear some Chinese music, and they're going to be clashing all the time. It's just nature. You can do what you want, but it's nature to want to be with your own. I want to be with my own. I love my people. That's all. I don't hate nobody.
I found that interesting. That's obviously that was a clip probably from the 70s if you've seen the what they were wearing and everything, and of course before Muhammad Ali was inflicted with Lou Gehrig's disease, I think
Lou Gehrig's or Parkinson's or
Parkinson's similar. I think it was Parkinson's, yeah. But obviously that BBC interviewer was beside himself, but I don't know. I first heard that on MoFax, and MoFax also, I think what he says this several times, but you love who you love, but you know, all things being equal, he'd rather see his children marry other black people, and he'd rather keep his culture. He doesn't say it, but I don't know, pure or Pure sounds.
Yeah, pure sounds weird, like the not correct word to be using.
Yeah,
but I'm not very sure why, but that's probably something, it's something I need to tease out. But we can use that word pure for lack of a better word for now.
Sure.
So yeah. What were your thoughts?
It's weird. For a long time, it's like I have never thought about that from, and obviously I'm not a black person, so it makes sense that I wouldn't think about it from that perspective. But, you know, you always, I guess the thing is, and this is just as a white person, if me as a white person was to say, I don't want my kid to marry someone who's not white, I'd be run out of town. Like, you know, you just can't say that. And honestly, though, that me personally, I'd never thought about, I don't care. I mean, I just never really thought about mixed integration as something to weaken a culture, or I just never thought about it like that, and I never thought about it on that level where it's going to taint my bloodline or whatever. I just never thought about it like that. But then to hear Muhammad Ali and Mo Fax as well putting it as like, well, you know, we don't want to taint our culture either. Our culture is just as important as your culture, and we don't want to see anything happen to our culture either. That's how it first initially struck me. Is this? I had never thought about it from the other side before, but I don't think there is anything wrong with people wanting to, like they said when they put it that way. There's nothing wrong with wanting to raise children that look like you. You know.
There's nothing wrong with it, but I think the issue where the issue is that, you know. Yes, you want to raise children that look like you. I mean, that's kind of. I mean, if you had a kid, if you had a wife and she had a kid and it looked nothing like you, you'd be like, "What the hell?" Right?
I think more they're talking about color.
I understand that, actually. But I mean, the color. But it goes much larger than that. Yeah, like on a very base level, people want to have kids that look like them, but the rub comes when you start trying to make the decisions for the next generation. So I believe that he is well within his right to state his preference and to stand on that square. And I don't think he's wrong for having that position, that he wants to marry a black woman, and that he wants, you know, that's all well and good. He's stating his preferences, and he's got every right to it. And that those preferences will be expressed in his individual choices. That's okay. That's okay. I think it's a non-controversial statement.
Right.
And
Well, like I think Muhammad Ali maybe touched on it or mentioned it, but Mofax always pre-qualifies it with, you love who you love kind of trumps everything. So,
like I said, I can't find Paul Olin because he was pretty emphatic. He kept on saying, I want to. He never said, you shouldn't, other people shouldn't, or this shouldn't be allowed.
Right. That's a good point.
But, I mean, I do believe, and I think we talked about this earlier, that, I remember reading someplace that, in the next, 25 years or something like that, there won't be any, naturally blonde-haired, blue-eyed people might be, actually extinct. You ever hear that?
Yeah. And, that's like, if you want to bring it, if I can bring it up, I mean, that's kind of like one of the whole side effects or whatever of like, it's what the New World Order wants. They don't want white. They don't want whites, blacks, Chinese, Mexican. They want just one single mulatto colored people.
Yeah, I really would like to meet some of these New World Order types, because for the most part I would assume that they're all white.
Absolutely.
So I mean, it seems as if that's the case, it's more of those people hating themselves. If what you say is that, if what you say about them should be wanting to no longer be white and wanting us all to be one large, ethnically ambiguous mass, that would be, So
your mistake is, they live by the rules for thee, not for me, ideology. They don't want this to apply to them. They'll maintain their racial purity. If this is for the rest of us, that's left after the. Big extinction.
So, when you say the rest of us, are you referring to white non people of color?
You're overthinking this, Joe. I'm just talking about the. First of all, this is just a conspiracy. It's a New World Order. I was trying to be kind of joking about this. I wasn't trying to make a big statement or anything.
Oh, okay. Well, I just want to make sure I understand you.
The new world order. It's just, depending on, they're either white or they're reptiles. Okay, that's where I was going. So.
Is your money on reptilian?
Well, you'll oftentimes see videos of very popular. You've seen that video of Hillary Clinton where she blinks and one blinks and then the next blink she's got these lizard eyes and then blinks and they're back to normal. Those videos pop up every so often. So
and just for the record, do you believe them?
No, but it's fun. It's fun.
Some people might some people might think you believe it, and I'm just giving you the opportunity to clarify.
No. I wish that all these New World Order conspiracies were. Well, I don't, but I do.
Yeah.
I mean, I kind of wish they. It's just I find it fascinating, but no, obviously, no. I mean, I guess it's not obvious, but no, I don't believe it. But in a way, I kind of wish it was. Wish it was. Cause
this is the thing I have about conspiracy theories.
Never mind. Go ahead.
It seems to me that in order for there to be a conspiracy theory, the person espousing the conspiracy theory must on some level believe that there's some power out there that's, you know, I guess smarter than them, such that they can, you know, pull the wool over folks' eyes and get away with what they're getting away with.
Well, I should state that I do believe that there is a group of elites who want to or maybe try to acquire, you know, like total power, but when I'm talking right now, I'm just talking about just the wacky, quirky ideas out there. So I still haven't solidified my beliefs on where I think the ridiculousness ends and the truth begins, because
I think we can agree on that. There is a group of people who want to accumulate and you know be the boss basically of the world or whatever.
Right.
I think that's pretty clear that they're out there, and that, you know, perhaps the institutions that we see running around aren't the beginning and end of power, so to speak.
I mean, you say what you want, but the fact remains the Bilderberg Group meets, I think, every year, and they go to great lengths to keep their meeting secret. The Council on Foreign Relations, that wacky, that thing they do out in the forests of California.
The Redwood? Bohemian Grove?
The Bohemian Grove. I mean, it's a real thing. You can't deny that it's real. So, I mean, the easy answer is just it's a bunch of rich people, you know, getting their rocks off doing, you know, stupid rich stuff. But I think that's just giving them a pass. I want to know just what's going on and what the purpose of those things are, because they are real. It happens.
So what if you were to find out it was just like a drinking club?
You'll have to say that again, Joe. You completely wrote
it. What if you were to find out that the Bohemian Grove was basically nothing but a big drinking club with some weird rites of passage?
Yeah. It is what it is. I mean, you know.
No, but would you find that satisfying?
No.
Or would you believe it? Like, if you and I were to go undercover somehow, and then go to the Bilderberg Group meeting and sit there and watch it,
I'd be disappointed, because, like I said, I want to live in this fantastical world where crazy stuff like that happens.
All right. Yeah. That's a good thing to know about oneself. So we go to Skullduggery.
Yeah. Wait a second.
Skullduggery. I'm sorry. I just wanted to say the word skullduggery again. You were saying?
You know, I love the word skullduggery as well. But you know what? I was thinking, you know, another word that I like a lot, and I was going to propose that we almost change this segment name to shenanigans and skullduggery.
All right.
Isn't shenanigans a fun word to say too?
It is. Can you spell it?
Yeah, I probably could.
I can't. S-H-E-N-N-I-G-A-N-S, shenanigans.
S-H-E-N... I don't know if there's two N's. I'd say I'm going to say one N. So S H E N. No, I'll say two N's. S H E N E G E N S. I don't know. But anyway, it's fun to say. Not so much to spell.
No, not at all. Shenanigans and Skullduggery. I like that.
Yeah. So yeah, we're back. The Murder Hornets have returned.
Well, they had to come back sooner or later.
Yeah. And I have a clip here that I this is a 4 minute and 22 second clip, and I tried to clip out just interesting parts, but the whole thing is interesting. So bear with me, people.
Sorry, where did you get this from?
Did you send it to me? Or
was it them murdering a honeybee?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I didn't know that made the cut.
Yeah, I liked it so much. Now, this is a visual thing. This is better to watch when you can see it, the visuals. But even just listening to them talk about these things is interesting. And so if you want to go to the show notes, I put a link to the YouTube video at the bottom of the article. But yeah, let's listen to it. This is just awesome. I love it. I love murder hornets. Here we go.
Asian giant hornets, nicknamed
Murder Hornet.
Murder Hornet.
Murder Hornet.
Murder Hornets.
Right when you thought 2020 couldn't get any worse, Murder Hornets made their big U.S. debut. But are Murder Hornets as murderous as their nickname suggests?
That is definitely an overblown nickname.
So it should be more accurately Honeybee Murder Hornet.
Yes, they murder, but they're almost certainly not going to murder you. Asian giant hornets are responsible for up to 50 deaths a year in Asia, especially in Japan, which has been dealing with the problem for thousands of years. But it takes multiple stings to kill a person. Hornets are, however, capable of killing insects and even rodents, and viral videos of these attacks from years ago are making their way around the internet again.
Even if we were living in a place like Japan or Korea, we would very rarely be exposed to life-threatening stings.
But the real victim and biggest concern is the already declining honeybee population. Murder hornets were first spotted in Washington State in December, and beekeepers there are very concerned.
Establishment of the Asian giant hornet could decimate the Western honeybee population here on a regular basis. The honeybees are already under threat as it changes habitat and use of certain pesticides.
The Asian giant hornet is the biggest known hornet in the world. The hornet can grow up to 2 inches long, with a stinger long enough to puncture a bee.
I know, right?
They do have a pretty potent sting that can deliver a lot of venom, and that venom can have really unpleasant impacts on the human skin and nervous system.
Beekeeper Conrad Berube found North America's first hornet nest in Canada in September, which most likely started after the hornets hitched a ride on a cargo ship from Asia.
Being stung by the Asian giant hornet is like having red-hot thumbtacks driven into the flesh. Damn. My leg kind of felt the muscular soreness and throbbing, like when you have a bad flu. When I went up and down stairs for the next 24 hours, it really was painful.
Because of their massive size, they need a lot of food to survive, and honeybees are a great meal option.
They seem to be specialized in honeybees. Honeybees are easy to identify and find, and they can't pick up their hive and fly away.
Here's how the honeybee assault is out in three phases. Individual hornets will capture bees at a hive entrance, cut off their heads, and mash their bodies into a meatball so they can drag it back to feed their young. Then, one worker hornet will recruit her sisters and stage an attack on a target beehive. The hornets rip off the heads of the bees one by one until the whole colony is decimated in a matter of hours, a rarely witnessed assault captured here. Then, the hornets shift to feeding. They take over the beehive filled with decapitated dead bees for about a week, collecting the pupae and larvae to feed to their own children. Because Japanese honeybees co-evolved with hornets, they've found a way to fight back by forming a hot defensive bee ball, which has been seen in videos circulating in Japan.
Once the hornet worker enters the hive, they'll rush it as a mass, kind of clamp onto it with their mandibles, and then just through their own metabolism will raise the temperature and actually flood it with carbon dioxide.
Sadly, the Western species of honeybees found in North America do not have those powers.
The hive's under attack, they'll keep going out the entrance and getting knocked off in these aerial dogfights.
This makes our honeybees even more vulnerable to the new threat.
The last thing beekeepers need right now is another pest to worry about. We have a really robust trapping program this season. Any hornet hits that we find, we will increase our trapping and search options. We have infrared cameras and all sorts of things to bring into play. The goal is every time we find a hornet, we want to trace that to a nest and then destroy that nest. So it may be that we never find any hornets. The only confirmed sightings we have right now are in our tiny corner of the Pacific Northwest.
So, for now, we can only savor the videos that went viral of hornets losing battles to insect heroes.
That's pretty crazy. And the video is worth watching, people. You know, the thing that they bring up, and I've been hearing about this forever, and I think we've even touched on it, but this whole thing about, you know, if we lose the honeybees, like the entire, it's just like the end of the world if we lose the honeybees.
Oh, yeah, that sounds about right from my understanding, because so much of my understanding, they pollinate you know, pretty much everything we eat. That's right. Or plant based. But I'm sure the what they've been saying about, like, you know, the demise and everything collapsing, that's probably overblown, but it's not something that I want to test, so to speak.
Exactly. Yeah.
It seemed like honeybees over here are kind of, you know, wusses.
Yeah, they need to step up their game if they want to
survive,
you know.
Or maybe we need to go over there and get some of those Japanese honeybees and bring them over here.
That seems like the problem. What could go wrong? We should go grab a species from another country
what could possibly go wrong?
You know, I don't want to put myself in the same group, but Kentucky did something like that a decade or so ago. They went and I don't know what they was trying to fight, but they went and got these beetles from somewhere and introduced them into the population. And then, let me guess,
only good thing came from it, right?
Yeah. So
just want to make sure we got that point.
It was a wonderful idea.
Yeah,
it was good. Everyone was glad that they did it.
Yep, it seemed like another win for the state of Kentucky.
Woohoo! All right, peoples. If you're still here, thanks for hanging around. YouTube, like, subscribe, share. You know what? I'm thinking we should probably do this again next week.
Well, I mean, I think we should do it again, provided the murder hornets don't get us.
Yeah, keep an eye out. I'm staying in.
Yeah.
But when you're out, while you're out walking, you know, first make sure your dog is protected.
Oh yeah.
And you watch out for yourself, because murder hornets ain't no joke.
No laughing matter.
No, that's not a laughing matter. Joe, it's been fun, and take care, and I'll talk to you later.
I like it.
Gaze at the sight of a method, dive beneath the depth of a never-ending verse, gasping and swallowing every last letter, vocalize liquid, hold the quench of your thirst. Reason for the rhythm is because it's unknown, different individuals are dazzled with the showbiz. Auditions are gathered, but the soul would just rather hold a count at three and in the end leave it as it is. Flow to the slate of my do-re-mi. Clean out fixed lunatics who will haunt. Words are sent to the vents of humans, then converted to a phrase called talk. Musical notes will send a new motto. Every last poem is recited at noon.
Focus is set, let your Polaroids click as we capture the essence of a naughty noise called plug tuning. In doubt is an uplift, and real is the answer that I answer with. Dying yet live, but what you must realize that the tune that I present is surely not a gift. Different in style is definite, and style which I flaunt is sure legit. Now set aside, I say I hold pride in performing this melodic misfit. So swing, cause this picture is pitching. Incense JD Dove is now saying, all sing along to his favorite song while the pocket transistors are playing. But least but not last, I'm frightened, for the words that I reply hold doom. Life of the chant can be stopped by accident when you're tripping the wire of the plug tune.